Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on Of Mice and Men and Monsters.
I was built to serve him and the Featherfoot family. And once he passed on, I had no more family to serve.
I got the Ring of Regeneration. While wearing this ring, you regain 1d6 hit points every 10 minutes.
Awen pulls a beaker out of the bag of holding. And we can't risk Mr. Bertram's blood getting lost in the wrong hands.
Whose cricket is that?
It's probably me. There's like 800 of them.
So you come into this main room and you see a large banquet table. Now you see just overhead this oval, ornate, stained glass-like partition, just like a super sunroof.
And then she changes into Lord Macbeth. How do I look?
It's just a blank piece of parchment.
But it looks exactly like the other piece of parchment that you took from Chateau d'If. Blank, until you found the right way to activate it. And in comes Malcolm and Lady Macbeth. And then her eyes furrow. Where is your ring? And then she sees you, Awen. Roll for initiative.
Oh, yes!
Seven.
Yeah, seven as well.
Ha!
Damn.
Okay, wait, so
those are shitty numbers.
So Penny got a 7. Awen got a
5.
5.
I also got a 7.
A 7. Got it. 19 for Lady Macbeth, 16 for Malcolm. All right.
Are you going to count it, Kate, where they still have maybe haste? Or is
they
that...
still do have haste. What okay, is the duration cool. of this spell?
A minute, but...
Oh,
I mean,
no,
it's
they don't have haste. Yeah, it's been longer than a minute.
That was fucking wasted. All right.
Yeah, if it had been something like 5 minutes, I would have allowed it, but it has definitely been five minutes.
It's been
minutes.
A while.
Yeah, it's been
yeah
than a
okay.
And whereas I like to allow a lot of things, that is one thing that, yeah, we're
for
not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, too, Bertram would realize this with a sinking heart. Like
yeah,
his
I
buffer
too,
that he had cast
I used
earlier.
It too early.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lady Macbeth is going to ready in action, and she first, you know, looks over her shoulder at Malcolm. What are you waiting for? We need their bags. We need to check why they were here, and if they were yet another group that was sent in by my pesky cousin. And she immediately, like, just ushers Malcolm forward, and you see just him, just if he could flex anymore, he just, like, just these rippling muscles go, and you realize that this is, like, the air of a rage. And the aura of crackling lightning energy seems to just rush in around him as if it's drawn in by the storm outside. And even just he raises his arm, reaches behind him, and has this great axe that he throws to the sky and catches. And at that very moment, he just shouts. And as the rage takes full fruition, a bolt of lightning crashes through the ceiling and then combines with his great axe. And you see that blue energy of that lightning also present in his eyes as if it's shooting out. So in D&D, this is called a Path of the Storm Herald, but they are able to encapsulate different elemental things. And for him, for his path, it is specifically lightning and thunder.
And you said this lightning breaks through the
right.
The
so top. If they're in that or near that element that they call on, it will boost them.
Whoa. So the sunroof has shattered.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. So he's going to take a swipe, and the three of you are within 3 feet of one another. So he's going to take two swipes. The first swipe is going to go across, and this is with this great axe. It's going to cut across to Penny and Awen. So I'm going to roll against your AC. 18 versus AC.
I think with my plus two.
Well, but the haste is
gone.
Haste is no longer.
It hits, yeah.
It hits.
Womp womp. Okay.
It's never good when the DM says womp womp.
No, it's not.
You getting blasted.
So that will be 1d12 plus 4 slashing damage. 6 plus 4, 10 slashing damage.
Cool, I got 5 HP at the moment.
And then he's going to slash it down on against you, Bertram, for his extra attack.
Mm-hmm.
That is a 2 versus AC.
That does not hit.
That does not hit. Okay. I think for that, that will complete it. And so she was waiting for him to go, and as she sees him hit... and then miss against you, Bertram. She is going to have her hands outstretched and cause like a gale. Basically, a gale of wind is going to whip at you, and it's going to try and basically rip the satchel off of you. So it's still going to go against your AC. Let's see if this hits. Okay, 16 versus AC.
Yes, that hits.
Okay. It does it, and you're able to hold on, so it's not going to take full effect. But what it does is it blows it open, and she is able to... Let's roll perception real quick. Yep, 17 perception. She is able to see inside the said parchment. It's peeking
though it's
out
tucked,
just because of the... Yeah, just
book?
Because of it. Okay. With this roll, she sees a bit of it, and it is because... Well... Kind of behind the scenes, there is an attunement to it that she has. So she's able to see the fact that you have a bit of that magical parchment. And just you see her face just twist in what you recognize as rage. And she shouts over to Malcolm, "Forget the other two. We just need..." And she points at you, "That one." And that will close her turn. Penny, you're up.
Okay. Penny will turn back into Penny. So I think the clothes I imagined would still fit because she's not huge, but maybe like a cropped pant and shirt. Like, I think it just fits her a little funny, but she's still functional in it. She is... She's immediately going to basically tuck and roll. To try to roll between Goliath's legs to attack him from behind. Is that doable in one turn?
Yeah.
She's going to try to attack him with both of her. She's got two daggers. So she's going to roll, pop up, and then try to stab him in both calves.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'd say in this position, too, you're close enough to have to be able... You're not like running and diving and doing that.
Yeah.
So you are able to roll between his legs. He's a freaking Goliath. So you're able to easily go between his legs as well.
But I rolled a 6.
Versus AC?
Yeah, I was going to say, I just literally it's the roll. There's nothing I add to it, right? So it's just 6.
Do you have an attack modifier for the daggers?
Attack bonus. Ooh, I do actually. So 14.
Okay, and you're going to roll twice, 7. One for each dagger. I'm having you roll twice. One for left hand, one for right hand.
So one is 13. Ooh, and one is 8. I critted for that one, so...
Okay.
But I have a plus 7, so yeah.
Okay. The one of them hits.
Great. So
yeah, so the one in your left hand definitely makes contact and is able to bear into his bear calf.
5 damage.
And will that end your turn?
I am able to use a bonus action in battle. So it's disengage. Does that mean I'm like taking myself out of initiative? Does it mean I can just like jump back so I'm not in immediate swinging range?
Right. You're out of immediate swinging range. Great. You're then not out of battle.
So she does that and then she's going to spring back. I think she's going to leave one dagger in the leg. Actually, no, she'll take it. That's dumb. Why would she do that? She loses a dagger. She's going to spring back and disengage. So she's out of immediate axe distance, hopefully.
Okay. You do that. You do Great. That very successfully.
Thank you.
And now it's Bertram's turn.
I think as the rain is now like falling in this room and the light, he can just see and better hear the lightning above him. The glass is shattered around him. He knows that the most important thing is that they do not get this parchment that he has. And so he looks at Awen and Penelope and says, "We need to run. We cannot fight her, and they cannot get this piece of the parchment. We have to go." I jump onto the table. And I jump in the air as high as I can, and then I cast Misty Step on myself
to
try and go to the top of the roof that's been opened up. And I want to try and be teetering on the top of this, like, I'm not sure what's up there or how precarious it is, but that's the fastest way I can think to get out of here. I'm not trying to leave my friends high and dry, but they just, the most important thing is this paper, and now they're coming for me. So I just try and Misty Step myself out of there.
Okay. You successfully do that. Is that ending your turn?
It does after I do my wild magic surge.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Can you imagine that?
I know. That was a 14. Okay. So I'm good. Seven. So yeah, now it's up to 7.
Nice.
So now what happened, Kate? Where can you describe maybe on my turn where I'm at or what's up? I mean, I'm up.
Yes.
On top,
so you're on the second level. And the
now I'm on the third position, level.
Well, no, that was the ceiling. So I mean, you're on the roof
of the second level. Okay.
Yeah, of the second level. So you're the location of this would be as the villa is kind of like a football goalpost shape. And so, you know, you're at the very center of it. And so where you're on the top then, on top of that, you're able to look outward and see the front of the villa stretching forward. You see that same wagon where you had taken the clothes and the blankets and the apples from. You see the road stretching beyond in the direction of southwest. And you hear those words of invitation and warning that Macduff had given to you less than an hour before.
Okay, so I'm standing up there and I'm just looking down at my friends to see what they do, hoping that they run or can get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Awen.
Awen looks over at Penny. He just saw Bertram, double jump, basically. Tap that A button twice to get out of there. And he looks over at Penny and he says, "Penny, run now." He puts his hand into the bag of holding and he pulls out a small vial and he pops it open. He cuts part of his hand with his dagger and he pours some of Bertram's blood onto his fist. He squeezes it and then he drinks the rest and throws it onto the ground. And as he's holding his fist closed, he reaches out with his ringed hand and channels all of the magic power that he has the ring towards the barbarian.
Okay.
Fucking rock and roll.
Yeah. Okay. you hear, first you feel that like crawling up your spine as if it's just the taloned grip that then comes at the base of your skull, and that familiar like caressing and holding and yet possessing way. And you hear that triune voice again.
Wanting to play so soon, Eowyn?
It's on like Donkey Kong, Mrs.
I mean, just Ms. would be fine, but...
I never really understood the triune thing. You're like one, but many, and three, I don't know.
It's a mystery.
All right, make a wisdom saving throw.
24.
Fuck yes.
Okay, yeah, you you hold on. You see like the edges of your vision starting to black out, and as if you're going under again to see one of those unfortunate visions. But you kind of strain and focus, keeping your just eyes fixed on your quarry, on that barbarian, and you still are going to take some psychic damage, but you would have resisted it. So you'll take half damage for this. So you're just taking 2 psychic damage for this. But you see that those inky rivulets exit your ring, and a look of shocked recognition crosses Lady Macbeth's features, and she gasps out,
"No! No, not... That's why."
And just a realization coming across, just this like dawning on her features. And before she can react any further, the 3 shapes coalesce into one large one and shoot out towards Malcolm and wrap around him in that same way that you notice with Macbeth. And they squeeze around him. And immediately he drops to the floor and is writhing. And it's just, you know, your first go at it, and this exhaustion that had been building up catches up with you. And so you don't see a complete draining this time as you had at Gatsby's party. But you do see that vitality leave him, and immediately he comes out of his rage and is struggling against it. And so he's going to have to use his turn to break free of this hold. And that will take us then to Lady Macbeth. And she turns towards him at first, but then immediately looks at you, looks at Bertram, looks at you, and growling in frustration.
I guess I will deal with you later.
And she rises up. And it's just, she floats without a thought. She floats up until she's up at your level, Bertram.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Hi.
I perhaps have lost someone tonight, but there's something bigger than that. Something you cannot hope to even understand. You think you're fighting for the right cause? I don't know what my cousin has told you, but I can tell you she is very misguided. Look behind you.
And she gestures behind you, and you can see this field behind the villa just illuminates with lightning, just well-timed lightning. Gotta love how it dramatically happens sometimes. And row after row after row of mechanized suits bearing some of that armor that you had seen in Chateau d'If, holding weaponry. These mechanized soldiers with eyes glowing that sickly green that you had seen so many times as well through these different members of the Spotted Hand and the magic that they wield. And then a blood red as well in the joints of their bodies. It's almost as if you're taken back to that second night of the 3 of you working together in Frankenstein's castle, and that horrific realization that part of his work had carried on. Part of his work is still carrying on. How could one hope to even come against such a size of a force? this force is going to be mobilized. And you can see that promise in her eyes as you turn back towards her. Your best bet is to give up, give in. But then where would the fun in that be? And raising her hand, swirling, crackling energy bounces around it until you see this sphere coalesce there, and she pushes it towards you, Bertram. 17 versus AC.
Yep, that hits.
It collides with your chest plate, and you feel a crunching and a grinding. And all of a sudden, just part bits and pieces that had been worked on by your friends, you feel that burst out, and some of it starts to leak out, and you are pushed off and out into the main pavilion of the villa, and you crash down at two stories.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
This is KUOL, Cool Radio, 97 FM.
Morning to ya! This is Mike in the Morning on KUOL, Cool Radio, in your ears during drive time. Keep it cool, everyone, as we make our way to our little existential hamster wheels, huh? What's this, a phone call? We have a phone here? I thought that phone was about caller! What's up?
Dear leader thought I didn't deliver his message with, what did he say? Intestinal fortitude. So he gave me this thing that makes my voice do stuff.
Well, all right, KUOL is down with Dear Leader, and KUOL Cool Radio is all about it. Play it on us, weak little man.
Yeah, okay. Here goes.
French, have it. Countrymen, lend me your ears.
Hey guys, it's me, Kate, your master teacher, and what you just heard was actually a Patreon exclusive reward where you, our listeners, can be heard here with our friends Half-Orcs Countrymen and do it any which way that your creative minds allow you to. So very, very special shout out to Nathan who did that, and we would love to hear you guys as well. Come join us at the Omamam Fam. You can click on the link to join our Patreon, where we can give you bonus content like that, behind the scenes, bonus episodes, early releases, even First Chapter Friday readings, which can really maybe introduce you to your next favorite story. So we would love to hear from you also on social media. You can find us on multiple platforms with the handle at @OmamamShow. I hope you guys are enjoying the finale to Macbeth. I sure am. This is some nail-biting moments, so hang in for the ride, you guys. It's only going to get crazier. With that, let's get back to the show. You're going to take 28 damage. Bludgeoning, and then you're going to take...
Oh.
8 damage lightning.
I am way far gone, passed out, and destroyed and writhing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not even writhing anymore. At this point, too.
You're right. Writhing would mean I would have some kind of coherence. I am just steaming, a steaming pile of bolts.
Yeah. And the pack is below you at your back. Penny, Awen, you see this blast happen. You don't see him. I guess you could say land, but the coast is clear. Lady Macbeth is up there. Malcolm is still writhing and fighting on the ground, and I'm going to do a save for him. Okay, real quick. That's 3. Nope, does not save. So he's still, and it crunches into him more, so he's taking more damage. So he is bloodied now. What do you do? Penny, you're next up.
So Penny was in between, basically, Malcolm and the door. Like, she went through his legs. He was in between them and the door. So now she is close to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Penny is going to bolt out of the room, down the stairs, and then out into the courtyard pavilion area. Because he's, like, on the ground, right? Like, all the way down ground level.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to, like, truly truck it all the way out there. Like, slides when she gets next to him. And just sees, like, Bertram absolutely smashed, like, horrifying, right? Because he's always so put together, so, like, just, like, even, like, in how frustrating he is, so graceful, so poised, and obviously that is not how he is right now. And it just strikes Penny with horror. She keeps her mind, and she takes the Ring of Regeneration, and she puts it on one of his fingers.
It doesn't work.
Shit. Okay.
You see it start to fizzle and start to, kind of like this wave of what you can understand as arcane energy start to travel up his hands. But then once it reaches that, now you understand core part, it fizzles and then goes back down and goes dormant.
Shit. Okay. Penny is, like, not at a loss in the sense that I'm going to keep thinking, but Penny is just, like, stunned. Like, she felt confident. She felt, Penny and Kimmy felt confident that this was going to work. And he's big, so I can't drag him. Penny has no choice. Penny
do
just
a perception check for me.
So Penny is, like, panicking and, like, shaking him, like, grabbing him at his, like, shoulders, trying to shake him to be like, Bertram, you need to wake up. We have to get out of here.
You see out of the corner of your eye another one of those wagons, similar to the one where you had found the apples and the blankets. And it's just a blank wagon, a simple tarp draped over the back, and a single horse is tied to it.
Penny immediately just, like, comes behind Bertram, like, loops her arms under his, like, shoulders and arms and starts dragging him towards the wagon.
All right, we'll pause there as you're doing it. Do a strength check for me, and then we will resolve this when I come around.
All right, 14.
All right, we'll resolve that next. Bertram, can you do a death save for me?
Oh. A 2.
Okay. So you can mark one failure. And with that, too, what is something, what's a memory that might appear in his mind's eye?
He is in complete darkness. is darkness all around him, and he hears scurrying of creatures all around him, hiding in the darkness. And with his trembling hands, he is lighting matches that he's holding. And all he sees is blood and oil at his feet for a half a second before the match dies again as he continues moving forward through the darkness.
And we come back to Eowyn.
So you said that there were a bunch of like alive, like fey mech suits?
Yes, but you would not have seen this.
Okay. I just saw Bertrand.
They are dormant. Okay. So there is arcane energy that was buzzing in them, but they are not mobilizing. They are not moving. They are dormant.
Real quick, just so I can have the right understanding from what Bertram saw and for the audience too, were you saying that the dead bodies that Frankenstein was gathering are there wearing the armor and equipped with the armor that was being made at Monte Cristo prison?
It reminds you of that. Okay. It's not exact. It seems as if somebody else was able to carry on the work that he began.
Gotcha.
Or something else. But there are too many for you to think that it was all the same dead bodies. Right. There were row on row to an extent where it was alarming to you.
Okay.
But Eowyn and Penny did not see any of this. Mm-hmm. You're looking back and forth, Eowyn, between just the struggling form of this barbarian and the open door that has just crashed open as Penny just rushed after your friend. And you can glimpse, just as the door swings open and closed, you can just glimpse her struggling out the front doors to lift him and drag him. And you see him just completely darkened. The eyes are darkened. There's smoke coming out of his breastplate, and his form is supremely mangled. And you hear, once again, the sisters in your head.
Eowyn, wouldn't you rather stay and play? Wouldn't you rather prove how powerful you can be? Forget your friends. Wouldn't you rather fight?
As he hears "forget about your friends," Eowyn thinks back to the first night that they met in the tavern and sneaking into Frankenstein's castle and the big slide that they went down. He looks over at Bertram with the smoke kind of coming out of his eyes. And he looks back to the ring and the shadow kind of extending from it and thinks about the boat and Herman and Moby Dick and becoming hooded for the Green Hoods. And he's drawn to this power. He wants to be powerful. He wants to be useful. He looks over at Bertram smoking.
Real quick, you're still in the other room. Like, I'm outside. I don't think you can see
Bertram. She said there was like a glance. Down. It's a straight shot down.
So oh, from this room?
See through the open door. It's a second floor, main staircase, open doors. Yeah.
Sorry, lots of details. I'm glad you caught that. I thought I was just other side of the house. You couldn't see me.
No. Sorry. No, you're in the front drive.
Sorry.
And he sees Penny, and in that moment, something clicks, and he says,
"Don't you worry, we're going to play another day."
And he runs out the door towards Bertram and towards Penny, and he's going to help his friends get up on that wagon. So I run out, and I assist Penny, dragging Bertram, and I say, "Penny, what are we doing?"
Penny is like already so out of breath because she is weak. She's like, "We're trying. There's a wagon, a horse. He's not waking up. Ringing for generation. No good. We gotta the wagon. Help! Help!" And is just like tugging and tugging and tugging and trying to get him closer. And is inching along.
So I run over and I pull on Bertram, trying to get him to the wagon.
As you're pulling him, you do notice With your practiced eye too, you know, part of that front breastplate has come askew, and the machinery itself is broken. It's not just the fact that he's hurt or that there's damage or he's lost too much HP. It's also the fact that there is something wrong with the mechanisms. There's something wrong with that beautiful mix that you admire about him of magic and machinery. And it's not something that a quick fix can handle. You need to get to somewhere where you can work on it more. You need to get out of there. And these thoughts are rushing through your head as then you hear that triune voice say,
"All right, Eowyn. You know, you're turning out to be so much more enticing than she is. We'll give you this one boost after all we've taken from you so far. Consider it a down payment."
And the just this rush of dark crackling energy just bursts out of your ring once more and heads up towards where you see the floating form of Lady Macbeth, and it surrounds her and pushes her down back into the villa, giving you a moment to begin.
That's right. Fuck around and find out, Macbeth. as soon as I hear like a thump of a body, we're pushing him into the cart. Fucking yeehaw! Come on now, get on out of here.
You do that, you know, and as you head towards the down the winding road, you would who of you has the stone, basically telling you the coordinates. Who of you has the coordinate stone? So Penny, you take it out of your pocket where you're holding it, and you check to see which current coordinates there are. And you see the numbers and the figures kind of floating around, not taking a shape, as if it keeps trying to reload a new location and it refuses to.
Come on.
Roll a history check for me.
Penny keeps shaking it like it's a, what are the, those, it, magic 8-ball that just won't land. She got a 5.
With a 5, you do have a quick just glimpse in it, and it's a very fuzzy memory, but it is Marion pulling you to the side, and she's telling you, "Now, remember, Penny, you get one of these. I have a feeling you're going to forget this, but you get one of these. And part of that magical NDA is that this will not work if it's in enemy territory. You need to get out of the enemy territory, and you need to, and that's all you remember."
All right. Penny looks over her shoulder to where Eowyn is. She's like, "We have to get fast. We have to get out of here. We cannot get back. We have to get out of here now. We can't get back to the island until we're away from Lady Macbeth. We have to go."
Eowyn looks over to Penny and says, "Hold my beer." And he gives her the reins. And then he hops onto the horse that is pulling the wagon and ties a rope to part of the bridle that the horse is wearing, and then he jumps into the air while they're riding and turns into a draft horse so that they can go faster.
Oh,
I love this.
Awesome.
Great idea. And so, Penny, you hold on to these reins, and you see your friend in front of you just pulling along, working alongside, just turning into a draft horse, really, which is amazing to see. Part of you almost loses track. You're like, "Aw." But then you remember, "Oh, yeah, got to stay on track." And behind you is your non-responsive friend who is continuing to leak out some of that oil. And luckily, none of that blood oil that you had seen, but still the oil that makes him work, that makes him function, and no response there. And you head southwest. Bertram, your eyes shutter open to see a long, ornate hall, bedecked in the dark strings of beads wheat, and feathers associated with the celebration of Raven's Week. In your hands is a tray with flutes of champagne. You pause to brush a stray piece of lint off your pressed and starched black festive servant's regalia, balancing the tray in one arm with practiced ease, before continuing your journey to a final room. As you quietly open the door, a man is in the middle of telling a story to his gathered guests. His pale gray eyes shine and twinkle, and his usually pale face is flushed and animated. The fire burns brightly, and the soft radiance of the incandescent lights on the silver sconces catches the bubbles that flash and pass in the glasses on your tray. Each of the guests sits in a plush chair, and there is that luxurious after-dinner atmosphere when thought runs gracefully free of the trammels of precision.
Ah! Come in! We would be glad of your well-timed refreshments.
As the host waves his hand for you to enter, you nod your head in deference to your master, Lord Featherfoot. You travel the room and hand each guest a drink. The room is cozy with the six of you. The mayor, the doctor, the psychologist, the inventor, the shoemaker, and now you, the time machine.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
So now what am I supposed to believe? Is any of this for real?
Well, it looks to me like you're trying to hide.
Yeah, my mom always said, don't trust anybody.
Maybe they'd want to know where you're hiding out tonight. Did
you
get
started? Thank you for returning my license, Joseph.
That ding-dang detector pulled you.
But she was married, you know.
Stop being a little prick.
Do you have your doubts?
All right, kids. Say goodbye to Uncle Joseph.
I'll handle it.
Whoa, there, buddy.
Just saying how sorry we are to hear about your parents.
Why is she talking about you having a mustache?
You want to take a walk?
Three complete seasons of Dirt, an audio drama, are now available to binge wherever you listen to podcasts or at dirtaudiodrama.com.